Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. So happy to have you here. So yeah, this week we're doing part two of our Majesty of the Seas show. I just got back from a three-night cruise, and I had a listener, Kristen Ladwig from St. Louis, interview me about the experience, about the ship. So we'll talk about that a little later on in the program. Before we hop here to Stuart, let's talk about the Cruise Radio Insider Facebook page. We'd love to have you on there. Just search Cruise Radio Insider on Facebook, and we'll add you to the group there and talk about some cruise news and what Stuart talks about and all that. So with that said, he's back after 6 weeks. Stuart Schuer on the Cruise Guy. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug. Doing great. Yourself?
Good, bud. So the big news last week, Carnival Corp's brand Fathom is going to Cuba. Both you and I were both on NPR last week talking about it. So let's listen to that clip right now.
Here's a sure sign that relations are really thawing between Washington and Havana. Carnival Cruises has received permission from the U.S. government to take passengers to Cuba. NPR's Sam Sanders has the story.
These trips will not be traditional cruises.
It's not your grandma's and grandpa's cruise. The ship they're deploying will not have casinos in it at all.
That's Doug Parker. He hosts Cruise Radio, his own podcast all about cruises. There are no casinos because these trips to Cuba will only be allowed if they serve a higher purpose, like educational activities or aid projects. Carnival says its Cuba trips will provide cultural, artistic, faith-based, and humanitarian exchanges.
I'm seeing a lot of mission work, church groups, colleges who do mission trips, local organizations.
It'd be easy to look at this as a gimmick. Do you really need to ride a cruise ship to do good around the world? Stuart Schuer is the CEO of CruiseGuy.com, and he says some people might.
There's a lot of people that don't want to sleep in a tent, and they don't want to eat, you know, very, very bad food, and they don't want to be in unsafe surroundings.
If the Cuban government gives the okay, Carnival says it will start making trips to Cuba in May of 2016. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
So what are your thoughts on this, Stuart?
Well, I think it's going to help improve the success potential for Fathom tenfold. It's a great move. It's just an opportunity that kind of fell in their lap. They took advantage of it. They had the perfect ship for it, which is Adonia. And it'll be a nice, they're already working on programs for the Dominican Republic. So for them to put together some person-to-person and different cultural exchanges on board Fathom to go to Cuba, it's a great move. But
Yeah. Some
of the catches are that they will not be able to sail to other countries when they do Cuba. So essentially when they do those seven-night cruises from Miami, they can only do Cuban ports. They can't go to Haiti or their private island in the Bahamas or anything else. It's strictly Cuba. They've identified, I believe it's 11 ports.
Mm-hmm.
Around the island that they'll be able to visit, and I think it's going to stir up a lot of excitement for people that want to see Cuba in that kind of a context, but also see it before everybody else does, before it may become a little too commercialized.
Okay, so when Fathom is going through the DR, they can either choose to do volunteerism or they can lay on the beach if they want. No one has to do volunteer work, but in Cuba it's a different story.
Well, I would tell you in the Dominican Republic, that's the reason why they're there. So you're going to have people that want to be able to donate their time. They're not going to spend, $1,600 to start, for example, to just go with all these programs mm-hmm. and not take advantage of it. They can go on another cruise, and if they just want to hang out, it's going to be significantly less money. This is about the experience. Going to Cuba, it's about a person-to-person exchanges. So there's going to be all kinds of cultural activities that are pre-planned that will be included in the cost of the cruise.
Okay.
So they're two distinctly different packages or programs. But what's also nice is that people can actually combine to do a 14-night cruise, do the Dominican Republic, and then go to Cuba.
What are your thoughts on the price point being about $1,000 difference?
Well, I think they're going to be two different programs. And in speaking with Arnold Donald when I was in New York, yesterday, that there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of unknown costs. The Cubans can come back with all kinds of taxes, and they just don't know. So they had to put the price somewhere, and also putting all these programs and literature together is, and including all these excursions, it's not going to be inexpensive.
Okay, very good. Moving on here, Royal Caribbean getting rid of dynamic dining. Now, dynamic dining, of course, rolled out on Quantum and Anthem of the Seas, where they got rid of the main dining room and added little dining venues. Am I getting that correct, Stuart?
You are, and that was on Quantum of the Seas, which, mm-hmm. as you know, is the most technologically advanced ship. And they thought that they would be able to take that concept where passengers could essentially have all these different dining venues, and there's no main dining room. You have different dining rooms that you can move around to each night with your family and friends or whomever you're traveling with. But Oasis of the Seas was supposed to be the first one. It was back in October when the ship was in the shipyard. They did redesign the dining room to accommodate dynamic dining, but apparently they had to pull back because it just wasn't working out, and then they apparently just gave up and said, we're only going to do it on the Quantum class ships. Everything else is going back to the way it was.
Okay, now for the people who are booked, though, on the Oasis ship next year for dynamic dining already, how does that like play into?
Well, they're going to be revert to a first or second seating, just like everybody else.
Speaking of dining, Norwegian Cruise Line announced this week that some of their specialty venues are going a la carte. Good or bad?
I think the headline should be "Let the gouging begin." I think it's gonna infuriate a lot of people because, you know, when you go to the steakhouse, you want to be hit for $17.99 to $29.99, and then your salads, you're gonna have, you know, $4.99 for this and $7.95 for that, and that's kind of what the dining was supposed to, you know, these nominal charges, which started at nominal and then went up to absurd, and I think they're trying to really stick it to the passengers with these additional charges by going a la carte. And I think a lot of people, I mean, you know, there's cruise lines like MSC who have done this, and, you know, you can go into their pizza restaurants where they do charge, like, what, $18, $19 for a pizza?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only sound in there besides, hearing the dishes are crickets. There's nobody there. It's, you know, people don't want to be, you know, this is not about, you know, being nickel and dime for a salad or, you know, salads and sodas and, you know, what are they going to charge for napkins next or in silverware? on a ship, I just think it's wrong. I mean, the passengers are already there. They feel they've already paid for their meals. I can understand a nominal charge or, you know, a reasonable charge, but to go to a la carte dining, I think it's, you're really sticking it to the passengers. I'm unsure what planet they're on, but I think that, you know, hopefully before escape happens, that they'll put the kibosh on this one.
You just got back from New York City. What were you there for?
Well, I was there for to do TV and radio. Queen Mary II completed her transatlantic sailing, which commemorated and recreated the original Cunard sailing between Liverpool, went to Halifax, Boston, and then as well as New York. So this finally ended in New York. This, you know, culminated their 175th anniversary, and I was on hand to be there for the, you know, on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange for the ringing of the bell, and they had every president from all 10 of the Carnival Corporation brands there, as well as their senior executives from Carnival Corporation. So it was quite a nice experience. And then last night we all met at a big party at Battery Place. Queen Mary II left Brooklyn, came, you know, into the Hudson Bay area, circled around, and then she put on a sound and light show, and then she sailed on her way.
Nice.
Nice few days.
So Celebrity Cruises announces their first female captain, I should say American female captain, but taking a step back, Cunard also has a female captain, right?
They do have a female captain, and but, you know, she's not American.
Okay.
And Doug, I think what a lot of people have missed on this one is she's only 37 years old.
Yeah, wow.
I'm already told, Doug, that Celebrity will not be having you aboard Celebrity Summit, just in case you had any premonitions there. But it's very exciting, you know, for female American to take the helm of a major cruise ship.
Yeah,
and big congratulations to her and the Celebrity for acknowledging her efforts.
Been talking with Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy. Find him online at cruiseguy.com or follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy. Thank you, man.
Hey, Doug, my pleasure. Thanks.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
We always like to get your reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, just email comments at cruiseradio.net. Going to change things up this week. Listener Kristen Ladwig is going to interview me about my cruise aboard Majesty of the Sea. So I'll go ahead and turn things over to Kristen. Hello, Kristen.
Well, thanks, Doug. I appreciate the opportunity to turn the tables on you once again. So first of all, let's start with, why did you choose the itinerary and or the ship?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So it was Majesty of the Seas. It was Royal Caribbean's cruise. A 3-night sailing out of Miami. It went Friday to Monday. The reason why I picked it, honestly, is because I've been looking for a cruise all summer long, and they've been so expensive. But Carnival had a 12-hour sail, and that drug everybody else's prices down to the $199 range. So Royal Caribbean was the cheapest, so I just bought it and went.
Well, that's a pretty hard price to beat, that's for
sure. Yeah, I mean, I live 5 hours from Miami, so $199, you pay $60 for parking, still it's not a bad deal.
Definitely. Now, had you ever sailed Majesty of the Seas or any of her sister class ships?
Yeah, so I've sailed. She's a sovereign class ship. And for the folks who may not know about sovereign class, when the sovereign class was first launched in the 80s, it was the largest ship in the world. So I've sailed on Sovereign of the Seas and sister ship Monarch of the Seas. Both those ships are not with a fleet anymore. And this is my first time sailing Majesty.
All right. So we're talking, obviously, a ship that's been around for a few years. How has it held up?
Yeah. So the ship came out in 1992, and you can definitely tell it's an older ship by modern day standards, but it's not bad. I mean, it's what I would expect. You know, I didn't have high expectations for it because the ship was or is 23 years old. But mm-hmm. the carpets look good. The upholstery looks good. The dining was there. Everything was there, and it seemed to have all its moving parts.
How do you think it compares to other ships that are doing similar itineraries in the Bahamas?
You know what? I mean, all those Bahamas ships are nothing but work dogs, like Norwegian Sky or the Carnival Fantasy class ships and these mm-hmm. this Majesty of the Seas, the Sovereign class ships. So they're all the same to me.
Okay. All right. So 3-day Bahamas cruise. Typically, one would refer to those colloquially as the booze cruise. Mm-hmm. So did you find that that was indeed the kind of atmosphere on board the ship, or were you surprised to find it different?
It was, I would say, a mixed bag. There was a lot of South Americans on there. Maybe it's their winter down there right now. I'm not really sure. But there was probably about 40% of the ship folks from Argentina, Brazil, and Chile. And then the rest were Americans. But there was the rowdy college bunch, which was me 10 years ago. and then there was the families and the multi-generational travelers. So it was a mixed bag for sure.
Okay. And you had two ports of call in this itinerary. The first was Coco Cay, which is Royal Caribbean's private island. I assume you've been there before.
Yeah, it's been about 7 years.
Okay, so tell me what were your thoughts about Coco Cay and maybe how it compares to some of the other cruise lines' private islands?
I liked Coco Cay. One thing I didn't like about it, and I feel stupid for saying this, but there wasn't enough shade. Like, I almost feel like the cruise line wants you to buy an umbrella or buy a bungalow or a cabana to get out of the sun. And I'm sure that's strategic on their part. But there isn't a lot of shade unless you're under the eating pavilions mm-hmm. Or a palm tree, which there's not really that many there either. But other than that, we did snorkeling, and it was $40 per person. And we did like this treasure hunt snorkel, which is pretty cool. There's a coral reef there with a bunch of brain coral. There is a sunken airplane and kind of a trail you can do. So that was really cool. It's a tender port, so the ship anchors, and it's about a 20-minute tender ride each mm-hmm. way. otherwise, I like the island. It's quite comparable to Norwegian's Island or Half Moon Cay, but I'll always love Half Moon Cay, Carnival and Holland America's Island the best, just because of the sand and just the location and just, yeah, it's an awesome island.
Okay, fair enough. And then your second port was Nassau, which I know you've been to a gazillion times. So did you even bother getting off the ship this time, or did you stay on board?
Yeah, we did. You know, I always find myself getting off the ship in Nassau. A lot of people say, oh, we've been there so many times, we won't even get off the ship. But I just love being around the people and love just walking around. So I got off the ship and went and got a water taxi, and it's $8 round trip. And it took us from the cruise pier over to Atlantis, spent about an hour at Atlantis in the casino and walking around and stuff like that. Went back to the ship and then had lunch on the ship and then went to Junkanoo Beach. It's a free beach, which is about a 15-minute walk kind of past Senior Frogs in Nassau, Bahamas. Actually, it's right next to the Fat Tuesdays. So we did that. And yeah, you know, we just kind of mingled around, went to the straw market. All the stuff that people say we've been there a million times, I like to make it a million and one.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you obviously didn't have a sea day on this itinerary, but how was your onboard experience? Let's start with what I think is, of course, the most important thing, and that would be the food.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The food was good. I wouldn't say the food was awesome, but it was good. It was consistent. The service was good. Our server was Michael, was really, really cool. And on top of it, one night we wanted to get in and get out really quick, and he was just like, boom, boom, boom. You know, your typical appetizer, salad, soup, and then entree and dessert. Yeah, so the main dining room was really good. And if we're talking about the buffet area, not my favorite part of a ship, the buffet, on any cruise line. So that didn't really stand out. I did the salad bar a couple of times up there. And then the breakfast was good. I didn't eat breakfast in the main dining room. I always ate it in the Windjammer, which is Royal Caribbean's buffet. And of course, they had like tons of bacon, so I was in heaven up there. And then where else? Sorrento's was on there, and that was the free pizzeria. That was solid, you know. I still think Princess has the best pizza, but maybe...
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe a close second for Royal Caribbean there. They had Johnny Rockets on there. We didn't eat on there or eat in Johnny Rockets, but it was $5.95, and it was all you can eat off the menu for $5.95. So if you wanted to eat five burgers, you could for $5.95, but we didn't do that. There was really no... They had a kind of a makeshift specialty restaurant in there. They have a deli on there called The Compass, and they had a Mexican-style restaurant for like $12.95 at night that you could... But we didn't even go to that because we were just content with the main dining room. And I should mention that we had late dining, and late dining on Royal Caribbean is 9 p.m.
Okay. Wow. Very late then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they offer like anytime or freestyle kind of dining at all?
They do. I think it's called anytime dining, and we would have done it, but it books up really, really quick. And a quick note, if someone is looking for anytime dining, you do have to prepay your gratuities if you want to do that. But otherwise, it's totally worth it. You can dine between, I think it's 5:30 and 10 o'clock.
Okay. But there weren't any other specialty restaurants on board the ship?
No. It's pretty stripped. I mean, it's basically... just buffet, two main dining rooms, Sorrento's and Johnny Rockets and the Compass Deli.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. How about entertainment? Did they have shows, comedians? What was the nightlife like besides drinking?
Yeah. There was definitely that. And then we actually went to a comedian juggler. I don't know how you would say that. A comedic juggler maybe, but he was really, really funny. And he was juggling everything from machetes to eggs to bowling balls, and then he did some like audience interaction stuff. Didn't go to the show. It was like a 70s type show, a song and dance type thing. I forgot we were doing something. I think I was doing interviews actually during that time, so we missed that. Piano bar, we walked through there, not much happening, but that was going on. And then the atrium bar, they had a band there, and it was really cool because they would bring people up. Like if you wanted to sing with the main singer on there, you could go up there. And we heard some really, really cool tunes, just passengers singing with the people in the atrium bar. So that was really cool. So overall, I thought the entertainment was awesome on there. And back to, you said a booze cruise, they have a pretty cool package too. If you want to just drink beer for $35 a day, you could get that for the course of the cruise and stick strictly to beer. Or I think it goes up to like $55 if you want premium, or $65 a day for premium, anything you want, all you can drink. So they have a pretty good package for that as well.
Okay. What kind of a stateroom did you have on this ship?
I booked a guarantee, so I didn't really know what I was going to get, and I actually didn't get my cabin assignment until 3 days before the cruise. I booked an interior guarantee, and it wound up being a porthole, so I guess ocean view.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the front of the ship, deck 3, cabin 3016. And it's been a little while since I sailed on a Sovereign class ship, and maybe it's because I'm older now, but it seemed really, really small. I mean, I want to say it was like 120 square foot. Just enough room where the beds were literally touching the wall, so you couldn't really walk on the side of the bed. You had to kind of had to scoot yourself off the end of the bed to get off. But there was a nice little table on one side, your typical vanity area with two plugs, and your bathroom. There was plenty of storage, I will say that. There was 1, 2, 3 places for hangers, and then like 7 or 8 shelves in there in the safe. So overall, it was a little tight, but then again, I knew what I was getting myself into.
And it was only for 3 nights.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of pools does the ship have?
The ship has 2 pools. They're both located on deck 11, and it's like a pool and then two hot tubs and then a pool on the other side of that. And it's kind of like a kiddie pool and an adult pool together. There's a big gate, so it separates the kiddie pool and the adult pool. And I'm not a big fan of swimming in pools on ships anyway, but just the fact that the kiddie pool and the adult pool were kind of linked together with the whole diapers and all that just didn't sit well with me. So I did put my feet in the water a couple of times, but that's about it.
Gotcha. Any other notable features or amenities that this ship has?
Let me see. Oh, it's really cool viewing areas. I will say, like, if you're a sail away person, up on the top of the ship, it's wide open. In fact, I think there's like 2 decks in the front of the ship where you can just get basically 360 degree views, maybe 270, of watching the ships leave. And then deck 7, it's a really quiet area, but it's where the jogging track is. But it's all the way around the ship you can run. So that's kind of a nice little area on the ship as well.
So in summary, if somebody was looking at booking a Bahamas itinerary such as this, would you recommend Majesty of the Seas?
I would. I was actually thinking that. And I was thinking I might just do it again, but do a 4-night because the 4-night actually hits Key West as well. So it goes Coco Cay, Nassau, Key West, and back to Miami. I would probably do it off-season where there wasn't a lot of kids. I mean, they have a great kids program on board, but not having kids, I don't really care to be around them.
Yeah, so, totally understand.
Yeah, so with that said, it's just, when I like to lay by the pool or have a drink or whatnot, I don't want to get splashed or cannonballs and all that. But otherwise, I would book Majesty again, and I can't wait because she's getting renovations next year, and then she's going up to Port Canaveral, which is just down the street from my house. Well, I say down the street. It's like 2 hours from here versus 5.5 down to Miami, so that's kind of cool as well.
Yeah, that just was recently announced because they were going to move this ship to another sister line.
Yeah, it was going to Palmentier, and then they just made the announcement last Monday saying they're going to keep this ship. They're going to upgrade it with high-speed complimentary Wi-Fi, like 3 or 4 restaurants, put a water slide on the ship, and some other interior things, and add the DreamWorks program on board. So they're going to make it kind of a small Vision class type ship.
Oh, that's an extensive, kind of an extensive dry dock then,
yeah.
Sounds like they're planning.
Yeah, totally.
So do you have any tips for your listeners about either Bahamas cruising or this particular ship?
I would say, and this goes not just for this ship, but for any time you cruise, prepay your gratuities. It was sickening to me how many people were in line last night removing gratuities off their bill.
Mm.
It's just nothing burns me up more than seeing people taking gratuities off after the crew has busted their butt. And they try to be sneaky about it and wait until the very last end, the last part of the cruise or 11 p.m. that night to do it. So prepay your gratuities. If you're in Coco Cay, I would suggest maybe getting an umbrella. Or if you want to snorkel, maybe go to Walmart and pick up a snorkel and a mask because they're going to charge you $40 if you're on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see. What else? Nassau. If you don't have the money for an excursion, spend the $8 per person round trip and take the water taxi over to Atlantis. It's kind of like a mini excursion in itself. And on the ship, I would say book anytime dining and book it early. Book it soon as you book your cruise because it will sell out. The dining room was tight, and the only thing that's left by the end of the cruise is going to be 9 p.m. dining. And I'm not used to eating at 9 p.m. I mean, I'm good with an 8 o'clock dining time, but 9 seemed to drag on till almost 11 o'clock sometimes. So that's a little too late for a fat guy like myself.
Well, that's a great collection of tips there, and nothing that I wouldn't expect from Doug Parker of Cruise Radio.
Thank you, Kristen. And by the way, this whole being interviewed thing's a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Good. I'm glad I stumped you with a few questions then.
We know you can't go on every single cruise,
so we do it for you. Find over 200 ship reviews and money-saving tips at cruiseradio.net or search Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio.
Promotional consideration by Hilton Garden Inn, Fort Lauderdale Airport Cruise Port.
Where you can park and cruise or take advantage of the shuttle service.
Located at 180 Southwest 18th Avenue, Dania, Florida.
And when you stay there, tell them you heard about it on Cruise Radio.
Call 954-924-9204 or go to hgifllairport.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.